Welcome to God and Country Radio, a weekend program that discusses current social, political, economic, and prophetic events in the light of biblical theology. I'm your host, Pastor Brad Winship, pastor of Heart Revival Church in Central New Jersey. The state of Illinois just passed a law requiring the legal renaming of criminal offenders to instead being called justice-impacted individuals. And this would apply to about 1,800 inmates who are in a program called Adult Redeploy Illinois, which is a program to take certain criminals out of prison and put them into rehabilitation training. The media and the fact checkers are complaining that conservative sites are implying that this will be applied to all criminal offenders rather than just offenders in the ARI program. But regardless, conservative sites are right in pointing out the leftist feel-good foolishness of this new policy. This is what the left and the media always do. Find one misrepresentation by conservatives and make the misrepresentation the story rather than the overall moral error in the legislation itself. And be sure of this, the state of Illinois is changing the designation of all offenders. Because if the label has to be used for 1,800 offenders, it will soon have to be used for all offenders. Because the complaint will be, you can't discriminate against those not in the program. So the bill passed in the Illinois Senate, 34-20, and in the House, 68-40, along party lines. Republicans are saying the bill lacks empathy for victims and lacks concern for public safety. The Democrats are saying people shouldn't be defined by their worst day, as if criminals who commit crimes are just having a bad day. So hold on to that thought, because that's exactly the moral confusion of the bill. Now, this label, justice impacted individuals, is not something new. Nobody in the real world would use the term, but it's part of the political correct speech being used by leftists in academic circles. Leftist ideologues have finally been able to work their new language into the government and the legal profession. James Lindsay deals with this extensively in his book called Critical Theories, where in modern secular philosophy, every value and idea is a social convention. Everything is made up by man. So that, for example, there is really no such thing as adultery, as an actual negative behavior. It's just the act of sex. But people have given it a label to deem it a crime. Therefore, values are social constructs, and the associated language is also a construct. Therefore, if the left changes the language, they can change values and remake reality. There's actually an ideological belief driving the left's Orwellian 1984 newspeak. And it's based upon man being God and man is the measure of all things. Since everything is a human construct, if we want to change something, all we have to do is rename it, reconstruct it, reimagine it. In leftist thought, there's certainly not a God who has established unchanging eternal values. Man is God, so man constructs all social conventions, and the left is on a mission to overturn all of the Christian theistic-based values of the past to create a world free from the restraints of God. And this is one more way the prophecy of Psalm chapter 2 is coming to pass. Psalm 2, verse 2, the kings of the earth, they take their stand, and the rulers take counsel against the Lord and against his Messiah, saying, let us tear their fetters apart and cast away their cords from us. They want to be free from God's restraint. So in many cases, such as in criminal justice, if these people want to change what used to be a sin into a non-sin, they believe they need to work on changing the language. if we want to view criminals as victims of social oppression, if we want to believe that nobody is really a criminal, but is simply reacting to his environment, all we have to do as a society is change the language. A pedophile is now a minor attracted individual. A sodomite, a homosexual, is a gay man. A homeless person is a person experiencing homelessness. In order to normalize something, in order to not offend sinners, just change the labels. And hence, woke secular humanist professors have come up with the label justice impacted individual. Now, in reality, we all know they'd rather not have any label. They'd probably rather have criminals simply called people or victims. But they know for the sake of the legal system, they have to come up with some label, even though they despise all labels. Anyway, you see the game that's being played and why. Just understand what's going on behind the scenes in all of these new policies. It's even related to the prophecies of Daniel chapter 7, verse 25, where the Antichrist will intend to make alterations in times and in laws. So notice what the term justice impacted individual does. First, it switches the offender from being active to passive. The offender is not actively an offender. He is now passive and being acted upon by the justice system. The onus comes off of him and onto the justice system and the law. He is not the actor. The law is the actor. Second, it removes agency from the offender. The title implies that he hasn't done anything wrong, but that he has just been impacted by the police, by the justice system, by the courts. You know, it's the same word used for individuals affected by hurricanes, tornadoes, and natural disasters. You have been impacted. And by every conventional use of the English language, that person is a non-criminal but an innocent victim. And that's exactly the moral ideology of those sponsoring the bill. Now, do most legislators think this deeply about the bill? Well, probably not. You know, most of the Democrat legislators who voted for this bill just simply have a general feeling that it's nice not to condemn people. But that general feeling shows a conscience that is not committed to God and God's law. And therefore, the unthinking legislator is just as guilty before the judgment bar of God. And Republican legislators who opposed the bill didn't have enough godly biblical wisdom to give a speech on the floor fully explaining the theological moral error of this bill. Well, this story coming out of Illinois is just one more example of how unbelievers are overturning traditional law, laws based upon God and Christianity, in favor of what is essentially paganism. Here's another story coming out of Illinois. The justice impact individual legislation is just one part of this new worldview. So there's also this article, America's Most Dangerous Law Goes Into Effect. Illinois passes the Safety Act, which removes all cash bail in the state of Illinois. Once criminals are arrested, they have to be released until their trial date, unless the judge thinks they're an extreme danger to society or a flight risk, which only applies to a few. The Safety Act also drops trespassing from a Class A misdemeanor to Class B, which means police won't be able to arrest non-violent trespassers. They can only issue them a citation. So police can't remove encampments of drug users and gangs from private property. Notice how these people manipulate the language. They call it the Safety Act when it actually reduces safety. Just like President Biden's Deficit Reduction Act actually increased the deficit. These people have no shame. They actually believe their own lies. They believe they can change reality by their words. Here's another story. Loudoun County changes the prosecution process for some misdemeanor cases. The county's attorney general says it will no longer prosecute misdemeanor cases. Now, this is Loudoun County, Virginia, that also has leftism in its school boards. And notice the same ideology carries over into its judicial ideology. And it's in these leftist strongholds in America where we see crimes are no longer being prosecuted and schools are teaching DEI and transgenderism. Now, in this article, not only is the will to prosecute not there ideologically, but as the country becomes more lawless, the state doesn't have the resources to prosecute. So lawlessness eventually takes over. Another story, Alvin Bragg, the Manhattan district attorney, who's going after Trump for listing a non-disclosure agreement expense on his books as a legal expense and not a campaign expense. Well, Bragg also promises not to prosecute theft to establish racial equality. And he promises that this will fracture the relationship between the police and his department. The whole no bail, no jail, no prosecution situation in New York is coming from the same new religion, the same woke ideology that teaches criminals are not really criminals, that there's no such thing as sin, that people are just reacting to their environment. It's the old liberal line that all people are basically good. And it is really a denial of what the Bible teaches about sin. So what I'd like to cover in the rest of this program is a doctrine of sin flyover. If I were to disciple a new believer coming out of the public education culture, I would focus quite a bit of time on explaining the biblical doctrine of sin, because that's what's being denied and twisted by our social leaders today. And we live in a day where few people are learning about the biblical doctrine of sin. So our nation has fallen into lawlessness and darkness. And if people are to repent for the kingdom of God is at hand, they have to know what they're repenting from. If people have no concept of sin and they don't have a proper guilt, they will not receive or understand the gospel of Christ. And if there's one doctrine people hate more than anything else, it's the biblical doctrine of sin and condemnation. As when Cain killed Abel, he was embittered that God would rebuke him, that God would other him. He claimed it was unfair, that it was Abel's fault, and sinners have been doing this ever since. And this is described in the New Testament book of Jude as the way of Cain, the denial of sin. Now, in the Old Testament, we have plenty of references to the doctrine of sin. Psalm 58, the wicked go astray from the womb. These who speak lie go astray from birth. Psalm 51, behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. That's speaking about the inherent nature of sin, original sin, not about being born an illegitimate child. Well, throughout the Old Testament, there are all these allusions to the doctrine of sin, but it's not until we get to the New Testament that God reveals the full-blown doctrine of sin. Ephesians chapter 2, that people are by nature children of wrath. Romans chapter 3, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Galatians chapter 5, that the natural deeds of the flesh are sinful: immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, drunkenness, carousing. And those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Or how about 1 John 1:8? If we say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. And that's exactly what is happening in secular humanism and in the new critical theories about jurisprudence. They're saying people have no sin, and so the truth is not within them. Now, the doctrine of sin is a really, really big subject. It would take a 6-credit college class to cover it, answering questions like, where did evil come from in the first place? What's the definition of evil? How does Adam's sin affect the entire human race? So all I can do here is just touch on some major points everyone should understand when it comes to the doctrine of sin, points that are being rejected in our culture today. First, sin is a violation of the law of God. 1 John chapter 3, verse 4, whoever commits sin transgresses also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. Now, that might seem obvious, but it's not. Because as I mentioned earlier, sin is seen as an arbitrary social construct made up by men, particularly made up by powerful people to oppress others. But biblically, sin is a fixed reality determined by an eternal holy God. It's not arbitrary. It's not temporary. It's not confined to any locality. And people are guilty regardless of whether they're conscious of it or not. Ignorance of the law is no excuse. And people are guilty of sin regardless of their environment. And this brings us to the second point about sin. Sin is not caused by our environment. It's caused by our moral choice. I love the way Jesus addressed this issue, because in his day, people were blaming sin on external factors such as what you touch or what you eat. But Jesus explained in Matthew chapter 15, for out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, slanders. These are the things which defile the man. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile the man. Now, in essence, wokeism is teaching today the same thing that Jesus condemned, teaching that what defiles a man is outward influences and circumstances. But biblically, the environment doesn't make us sin. Everyone has environmental restraints. Everyone has problems. It's how you react to your problems and your environment that determines whether you are good or evil. All of the godly men spoken of in the Bible show that they were righteous by doing what was right despite their terrible environment, despite their persecutions. Even Jesus showed sin is not caused by the environment when he overcame Satan's temptation after starving in the wilderness for 40 days. The environment never forces us to sin. It only brings out what we truly are. Adam and Eve didn't sin in the garden because the garden contained the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They sin because of their own free will. And that's what sinners simply refuse to wrap their minds around. That they are actually responsible for their choices and that their circumstances do not cause them to sin. Remember also Adam, when he was confronted about his sin, he blamed Eve. God said to him, "Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" And Adam said, "The woman whom you gave me, she gave me to eat of the tree and I ate." You know, ultimately, when one blames the environment, one is ultimately blaming God for one's sin. For God put the tree in the garden, and God created Lucifer, and God created the need for food and the desire for knowledge. And so it's very easy for sinners to make the logical leap and begin to blame God and God's world for sin, and to instead see oneself as an innocent victim. That's exactly what university professors and their rationalism are teaching today, because they've rejected God's revelation concerning sin. Oh, their arguments and their language has become more sophisticated, but it's the same old blame shifting. So the environment doesn't make us sin. Poverty doesn't make a person sin. But leftists see crime in poor neighborhoods and think poverty must be causing the crime, when in actuality, it's the other way around. Crime and sin cause the poverty. Sinners will also commit the sin of slothfulness, both in work and the education and training needed for work. Now, of course, all poverty is not caused by sin, but all else being generally equal, it's usually caused by sin. Now, if you have a leftist worldview that doesn't believe in personal sin, that everyone is basically good, the immediate conclusion you'll jump to is that crime must be caused by some economic injustice, something outside of the sinner. So you'll immediately run out and compile all sorts of studies to try to prove that. Also, racial prejudice or the sin of others doesn't make a person sin. An evil person will react to the evil of others by doing evil. A good person will react to the evil of others by doing good. And if certain family groups engage in more crimes, it is not because of racial prejudice toward them, because the personal choice of sin is never caused by the persecution of others. In persecution, good people double down on doing good and overcoming evil with good. We find in the Bible all the time the record of certain family groups that decide as a whole, as a culture, to adopt false teaching and walk away from God. The fact that they are a minority group or an ethnic group does not in any way exonerate or explain their guilt. And the law of God is to be impartial. It doesn't matter if every person committing crimes is found to be Italian or Polish or Jewish or Nigerian or British. The law of God is no respecter of persons. Deuteronomy chapter 10. In fact, it's not unusual in the Bible for sins to follow certain family lines, nations, cultures. And the law of God is still the law of God and needs to be enforced regardless if it disproportionately affects one family group. In fact, I've said this often, if the Winship clan, my family group, starts committing crimes, please do us a favor and profile us and arrest us. Thank God he has raised up magistrates to stop us in our sin. Maybe he'll bring us to repentance. But now with secular humanists denying the truth about sin, these leftists immediately see sin as being caused by the racism of others. And it must be unfair if certain people groups become more guilty than other groups, guilty of that which is morally wrong. Because again, leftists see that which is morally wrong as a made-up social construct. So if it disproportionately affects one group, then the problem must be the law is wrong, not the group. This is their moral ideology, and they superimpose it on the way they see the world, the way they see cause and effect. It's not objective science. And so someone like Alvin Bragg will hold a news conference stating that he will not arrest minorities in order to advance racial equality. You know, understand that the doctrine of sin is one of the major differences between liberals and conservatives. Conservatives hold to a biblical understanding of sin, and hence they promote certain political policies accordingly. Liberals hold to a humanistic understanding of sin, the way of Cain, and hence they promote certain lawless policies accordingly. Point number three. The concept that is foundational to the doctrine of sin is that we are personally responsible for our sin. We're responsible for our moral choices. We have a moral will. We choose our destiny. And this moral accountability for our choices is what secular atheists hate. But Christians are the ones who believe this and admit their sinful bent. So they then turn to God for forgiveness and a new nature, a new heart. Unbelievers refuse to believe this, maintaining that they are intrinsically good. So therefore, they don't need a savior from sin very much. Jesus Christ is optional. And it is belief or disbelief in the doctrine of sin, God's evaluation of man, that's behind the policy controversies we're seeing in our nation today. And it's a belief or disbelief in God's truth that will determine your eternal destiny. I'm out of time. You've been listening to God and Country Radio. The extended video version of this program is at my YouTube and Rumble channel, God and Country Biblical Exposition. The website to listen to this program again or other past programs and get all of the video links is at godandcountryradio.org. Just spell it out, godandcountryradio.org. Thanks for listening. Stand firm in the truth of God, and may Jesus Christ reign.